Welcome to So Here's the Thing, the podcast for small business owners, entrepreneurs, and creative educators who are ready to take their business to the next level. Through candid conversations, tactical approaches, and a few unpopular opinions, we're lifting the veil on what it takes to build both a life and a business that you love. I'm your host, Layli Amati, a coach for creatives and founder of the Creative Educator Academy, where I help entrepreneurs step into the role of industry leaders and educators. I'm so glad that you're here. Now let's jump into today's episode. Hey friends, welcome back to the show. Today, I am so excited because we have Ashley Ebert from the Abundance Group here with us to talk all about growing a team. And I have about a million questions for her. So welcome, Ashley. I'm so excited to have you.
Oh, girl, I am so pumped to be here. You know, I love you, your community. You know, my love for Haley, I already was saying, all the people you surround yourself with. So I'm just excited to have some time to chat today.
Me too. This is going to be so fun. And I, like I said, I have about a million questions for you, but I always like to start with just kind of like a quick recap on like, how did you get into working with teams and helping other people grow their teams? Like, why is this a passion for you? And of course, like, you know, you got to give Dale a shout out. So like, tell us a little bit about how this came to be for you.
Yeah, of course. Right. Dale's always a part of the story. So for those of you that aren't familiar kind of with my background, I actually own two companies. The first is actually one of the largest wedding planning companies in the country called Simply Elegant. And very quickly, because of Dale's coaching and because of Dale's wisdom, I was not wise at 23. Let me just say that much. Let's be honest. But right. So he really kind of bestowed picking a differentiator and all this business knowledge when I was so young. So the business grew very fast. And honestly, about 6 months in, I had to start thinking about, I'm either going to pass on this business or I'm going to hire associate planners. And again, I'm 23 going like, what? I'm going to be a boss of someone? This is terrifying. But obviously with Dale by my side, he walked me through all of it. I've had a team now for probably almost 15 years. And it is the joy of my life beyond my family and my friends, seeing my team thrive. I just got an email from someone we just hired last week. And she said, you guys have the most remarkable training program. Like, what a way to be welcomed into this. And I'm like, oh girl, wait till you get to be with the girls. And we actually just took a cruise to the Caribbean all together. And so check on my Instagram. We're going to have tons of footage from it. I'm so excited. And like I say, the freedom that they have given me, the freedom that building a team has given me. My husband's a stay-at-home dad who's actually a homeschool teacher to our 6-year-old daughter. I fly across the country. I speak. I go to conferences. They get to come with me. It's just this like surreal life that I don't for a moment take for granted, but I know why I have it is because I took the leap and said, yes, I need to kind of dig into this building a team thing. What's this all about? And like I say, I mean, a team has changed my life. And I know I see so many of my friends are entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs doing the hustle, family, kids, whatever. And I think the thing about it is I know the overwhelm. I know the feeling of being underpaid for the work we do, right? And it's this like hamster wheel that we're just on and we run and we run. And I know the solution to that. And the solution is bringing on other people, other talented humans to get behind your vision. And so I'm just very passionate about talking about it and kind of, you know, Layli, like we were talking about, wiping away some fear, some misbeliefs, some misconceptions around team, because I think a lot of it is misinformation and misguided beliefs around what it actually is to build a team. So that's why I love talking about it. And when you see my face, you're like, oh, there's the team girl. And I'm cool with that. I'm so cool with that.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, I feel like what you ended with is like exactly where I want to pick up and start, which is kind of talking about some of those misconceptions. I know for myself, when I work with my clients who are educators and who are a little concerned that bringing on people to grow their team is going to add to their workload instead of creating freedom, that it's just going to add a different type of work. And I'm sure that there's like a grain of truth to that, but like, what do you say when the people that you work with come through and they're like really scared? They have like a true fear that instead of freeing up time, it's just going to take up time in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, I can just give you numbers. I can give you data, give you facts that would showcase what a team does from a time perspective. I at Simply Elegant, we have a training program that's about 25 hours of time. I have run 100 planners through that program. So I took the time to build out that SOP, and now that lives on forever. So instead of having to train each individual person, this training program does it. So thousands of hours are saved in just the training, much less in client delivery. Or, you know, the other thing I think people don't think about is lovingly, and Laylee, I feel like I can say this to your community. I think a lot of the times when we're business owners, we've had to hustle and do, and we think that our way is the best way to do something. And humbly from the other side, I can tell you that is often not the case. You know, we might have a set way of doing something that works, and that's great. And what if there's opportunity to be more effective, more efficient? You know, if you have someone that can shave an hour off of, you know, a task that you have to do, right? Multiply that by how many times they do it. This is a building a team. The reason you do it is to save time. So there is going to be a season where you're training. And of course, that's going to take some of your time, but that is a very short season. The longevity of that education for that individual lives on. And average, especially I think in the creative industry, you know, people are staying on for 4.2 years. That's the average of like all employees of all companies. And I think the thing that I see the workforce moving into, workers' expectations are changing. They want to be behind a visionary leader. So they're going to stay in a role with a good leader for less pay for longer. So just think about that, right? If they take an hour off your plate a week with the job they're going to do, right? You got to train them. There's going to be a couple weeks, a month of getting them acclimated. I'm going to go through this process for an operations assistant next week as we're hiring at Simply Elegant. I know I'm going to have to give a little more time up front, but the amount of time she's going to save me within a month is going to already, I'm already going to get my time back. So I think thinking about it, yes, in the short term, you're going to have some more tasks on your plate. I would say, hey, if you're having a VA or a person who's doing client delivery services, you know, service delivery, teach them a thing, right? Welcome call, how to send an email sequence, whatever that is, that they can learn quick, that's going to take time off your plate. So you can just be really strategic. And again, it is such a short season that you're training them. And managing someone when you've set up good expectations, and we teach you how to do that. Again, it's not this huge complex thing. It's pretty simple once you know the principles of it. If you set good expectations, they're easily going to be able to be with you for a long time. They're also going to be able to effectively do the work quickly. So now you're already in that season of your time being bought back. Again, there's that training kind of front end, depending upon what you're teaching them or training them on, a month, let's say. But then after that, you're already upside right on your time with each team member you hire. So again, obviously multiplying that out by, you know, I have a team of 25. So I basically do nothing now. It's wonderful. And they are more talented than I am, and they make the clients happier than I would. And it is such a surreal experience. And I want the business owners that work as hard as they do to be able to feel that. But again, I get the fear. It's a misconception. Leadership doesn't take hours and hours and hours of your day, but they're going to take hours and hours and hours off your plate. So if you really feel like time is the constraint, team is the answer.
Okay, there are so many good takeaways there. One thing I just wanted to ask as a follow-up is like, I know that just continuing on with the fear conversation, as you're saying all this and you're saying that like your team is more talented than you and they keep your clients happier than you, I think so many people are afraid. Obviously, like this is a very common two sentences I've heard, which is like, oh, I'll never be able to find somebody I can trust in my business. And it's like, yes, you can, but can you? And like, how do you know? How do you go about that hiring process? It's funny, actually, I think like 6 years ago, one of my products in my shop is a hiring guide. And it was like, it's the oldest thing ever. And it still stands true with like interview questions and like guidelines on that. But truly, like, How do you approach that? Like, how do you approach that question of like, how do I find the unicorn, somebody that's not going to immediately like fail to impress me and fail to follow through with what they act like they can do?
Yeah, it's simple. They earn your trust. You don't give them the keys to the kingdom on the first week. You're not like, here's everything, good luck. Well, actually, I did that when I was a young leader. I was like, hey, sorry, I got other stuff to do. See you later. Not the best choice. Unfortunately, at that time, I hired an incredibly amazing individual, and they did run with it, and I lucked out for sure. But I have also made some hires where, it's we have to backtrack. We have to find an exit strategy. But what I'll say is, they earn that trust. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with anybody that you onboard on your team, both ways. They earn your trust, and you earn their trust. And building a relationship with someone, again, you don't want to put them in a situation where they're in over their head or they don't know what to do. You want to equip them. We always say, being a great leader is like being a great coach. So we think about, some of these prolific coaches in athletics, and I think everyone can pinpoint that there is this moment of like, you got to go get it. You got to go try. You got to take the shot. You got to whatever. But then being there to equip them around that and seeing, getting to know them, understanding their strengths and weaknesses, understanding the things they enjoy doing or don't enjoy doing. And that all comes with time. And again, I think, everybody listening here has a different ability to take risk, right? And risk, there can be risk tolerant people or risk intolerant people. They want to mitigate risk. If you are someone that's like, hey, I feel like I'm going to micromanage, I'm a perfectionist, I totally get it. And know that we have kind of a phrase, a tag, it's trust but verify. So you're going to give a little bit, and then you're going to verify that the work got done well. And then you're going to trust them a little bit. You're going to verify that work gets done well. And I think with that, it's again, you're not like, hey, here's all the business things day one. Good luck. It's like, hey, let's talk about this small thing that I need help with. And then it's, I was just, we were just talking about, I'm rewatching a show called The Resident right now, which is like from 2016 or something. But they have, surgeon have the like see one, do one, teach one. It's kind of like that. You're going to, especially if you're scaling quickly, they're going to watch you do it. You're going to watch them do it. And then they're going to do it freely. You're going to, you have, it's not just this. Doors are open. They have access to everything. It's really building that relationship and building trust both ways, then allows you, like, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow, and I know that Simply Elegant is totally okay because of the team I have there. And I have no worry about it. I don't even think about it. Sometimes I'm like, maybe I should get my hands out of this because I'm screwing stuff up with what they've built. And sometimes I think people feel like I want, my hands to be in everything. And I'm kind of like, how's that working? Like, aren't you tired? Do you
Probably.
want to really be involved with everything? Aren't there some things that really don't matter? And I think you start to grow once you have a taste of that. It's just you want more and more and more of that freedom. And I think the pride that I have for my team of like watching them get 5-star reviews, text me telling me how much they love their work, like, or they love each other. Like watching, like a couple months ago on a holiday weekend, one of my girls was like, I'm down for the count. I have a rehearsal in 4 hours. And someone literally drove hours from where they were hanging out with family or something, and came and did the rehearsal for them. You don't build that team culture without intention, but guess what? Heck yeah, I trust my team. Heck yeah, I do, because I know their abilities, I know their competency, and I know their just genuine want to be there and help each other. So totally understand trust, totally understand. I mean, I teach a whole lot of planners, which are perfectionists to a professional level, and it evolves over time. It's gradual and it's intentional, and it's based on your own kind of ability to have that risk in the business.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. By the way, if you heard me like chuckling when you said trust but verify, it's because Tim, my husband, he loves to say trust but verify whenever I'm like, but I hate it because I'm like, I'll say something and he will like double check me on it. And I'm like, why don't you trust me? And he's like, trust but verify.
Oh my gosh.
I hate it. Men.
That's hilarious.
Boys. Yeah. Anyway, back to the real
time. I love it. No, it's true.
Okay. I hope our listeners are going to be like, oh, Tim. I can't
oh,
wait.
Tim.
Oh, I Tim. So, okay. I love this. And I feel like you've done such a good job of kind of educating on A, the importance, B, how to kind of, I guess, sidestep that fear for the potential of everything that you explained. Sounds to me like a no-brainer. Like, okay, when she puts it like that, like, yeah, obviously it's going to be worth the work. And it sounds like maybe a good amount of self-work and self-reflection on like, what kind of leader am I? Am I able to like work on myself and not be a micromanager, work on myself and be able to be patient on the onboarding and the training part of it? But like, what are a few steps, I guess, now that we know how to set or why we should sidestep our fear, what are a few starting steps that we can take to actually start growing our team? I know so many people have come on this show in particular and been like, here's how to get a VA. Like, here's why you need a VA. But like, maybe even a step further of what are those first baby steps people can take in order to expand in a smart way?
Yeah. So I think the unique and really powerful thing, probably a lot of your listeners and most business owners is CEOs or people that are, you know, that business owner hat that have built it from the ground up. They're visionaries, right? They have a vision. They're usually really driven to make that happen in kind of different ways. And there is times, and I've experienced this myself, where I am caught up in the everyday of owning the business. The weight of the kind of the mundane tasks or the things that I know are important, but they're just energetically not where I want to be. If you've ever met me in person, I love humans and I love talking. And if I have to sit and sift through a spreadsheet and put data, I was telling Lindsay, I was like, it'll take me an hour, but it will take 9 hours of my energy.
Yeah.
Right. So I think, again, being strategic, being thoughtful, being intentional, take some time to go, what are those tasks in my life? Not only that I don't like doing, but that actually have a negative impact on my energy. Because I think it's this understood or untalked about piece of business ownership is we have to wear creative hats, but then we also have to wear analytical hats. And usually as people, we're kind of going to fall one way or the other. So how do we take and do, and it's not that simple, like write down the tasks you love and write down the tasks you don't love. Like, yes, there's some weight to that, but take it a step or two further and think about like energetically, yeah, I'm good at that thing, but I just don't want to do it. I don't want to do that thing, right? It's the thing that always gets kicked to the bottom of your 74 item to-do list, right? What are those things? And can I find someone uniquely positioned that can do those tasks well? For example, I'll use financials, bookkeeping, metric tracking, right? And this doesn't mean necessarily hiring a bookkeeper. It could be hiring someone that comes into your business for a couple hours a month to help you really make sure you're tracking the data that's important. Because then as a visionary, I can look at that and go, hey, I'm really realizing that, you know, me showing up on podcasts grows our audience. Let's do more of that. That data and that information is invaluable. But if I don't want to take the time to do it, do the numbers and crunch on it, then it doesn't really matter. It just lives out there and I'll never know. So that could be a good example. Not that that came directly from my personal life or anything, right? A good example of, let's just think about this from an energetic perspective, because I could sit and do podcasts every hour, every day. It's like my love language. I actually did. I sat on Clubhouse. If y'all remember Clubhouse, I sat on Clubhouse for like hours and just, I loved it. But again, there's tasks that, yes, they take the same amount of minutes and hours in a day, but it takes a different toll on me. So what are those tasks? Can we outsource those tasks? And again, I teach something called the temperaments. Kathleen Eidelman is someone I've learned this from, and it's really about extroversion, introversion, relationship-oriented or results-oriented, and different individuals of temperament colors thrive in different tasks. So really kind of aligning that as well. Now you have someone, for example, in the, you know, grabbing the data, metrics, all of that, the numbers, I would hire someone who's of a blue temperament because they love process, they love procedure. So now I'm putting someone in their strength space in a place that I am weak. That's not a trait of one for one. They're actually 16 times more productive. And there's a lot of data that will back this up. Pareto principle, it's fascinating stuff. So I think that also then looks at this concern of trading time, of like, I'm going to spend hours training them. No, it's 16 times as productive for you to train them and get them going in their strengths. So I don't know. I think for me, I nerd out because teams it's strategy. It's thinking about things in an analytical way, but then also being able to develop great relationships. So that I think are some of the keys to why, you know, when you're starting a team, if you can think about it from that perspective, you're going to be entering into your leadership role on a completely different level. Because a lot of people say, like, I don't want to do this thing and here you go and good luck. You know, there's not a real intentionality behind hiring that VA like you spoke about. But I think if you can really layer in the strategy that we teach and how we teach it, it's just a game changer. And people, there's explosive growth that happens in companies.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that, like, you don't want to do this one thing and then you hire some. I feel like that happens so often to like so many people I know where, and even I've been guilty of it before where it's like, oh, well, I have a list of pitches I need to get out. I don't really feel like doing this. I'll just like pass it off. I mean, obviously it's a different situation when you already have an assistant who you're passing off to. But if that was like where I started, yeah. I could see that like, okay, so what happens when those pitches are done? Like, right. Then what am I giving this person to do? It's like not preparing. So would you say that preparing before even like seeking out hiring, like preparing, what does that position look like? How important is that?
100%. I think it's really valuable. And kind of the unconventional wisdom that we teach around this is, you know, there's kind of this step process and writing it down and quantifying it into a job description, all that. That's great. And I can dive deeper into those points. But the thing that I think is a unique thing that Dale and I talk about is I was like, we always taught this. We're like, is this actually a word? To kind of humanize the role. So if you have something that's like, I want you to post on social media and grow my following and grow inquiries that hit my inbox due to Instagram. And I want you to do all this copywriting. And I want you to make sure that we get all of our tax documents prepped for our CPA. Great. That's a list of stuff. Like, Ashley doesn't want to do those things. That's actually true. All of those things Ashley doesn't want to do. What does Ashley want to do? No, just kidding. Whole different podcast. But in those things, right, there's a couple that are kind of more creative based, right? Social media, copywriting. And then there's this really analytical task, prepping all the taxes for the CPA. If we look at those tasks, it's easy to see that that's probably not going to be one person that's good at both of those things. Because we tend to be, as humans, we kind of lean creative or lean analytical. You might have a unicorn, but replacing a unicorn is really difficult, right? If you found one, great. But then what happens if that one ever leaves, right? So let's instead maybe hire two people that I can hire someone to do the creative work, and I can hire someone to do the more logic-based, you know, data entry work, because they're not going to tend to be good at both. And you don't want to spend money on someone on their wages if they're not really good at the work. And that sounds like, duh, of course we wouldn't want to. Like, of course I don't want to pay someone who's not good at it. But we do it all the time because we want to manage one person because that sounds easier in our head. So we give them all these different tasks to do, and they're actually not, they might be good at four or five of them, but maybe not so much on the other two or three. So humanizing is like the best way we could put it. Like thinking about it as it would one, you know, reasonably would one human be good at all these jobs. So like I'm hiring for an ops assistant. We're onboarding next week. They're not going to be doing things like our social media, our creative copy, our brand, our design. They're really in systems, SOPs, they're getting contracts. It's operations, right? And we know that normal humans that walk about the earth, they're probably going to be good at these types of tasks or these types of tasks. So I think for me that thinking about would a reasonable, normal person be good at all these tasks I'm having them do? If not, then break it up into two roles. It's not twice the work to have two people on your team. Another misconception, right? You spoke to it beautifully, Lele, where you were saying, when we as leaders, we develop ourselves, that's the work. Because leadership is a skill, period, hard stop. It's not like there are people that are born great leaders. We all learn leadership. Yeah. So when we're developing ourselves as a leader, we now can lead, you know, five people in the same way it would take us to lead one person, because we're focusing on us growing as a leader, right? So a little bit of a tangent, but I do think that's kind of the uncommon knowledge around that process, is to really kind of humanize that role and make sure that we're hiring. If we have to hire more than one person, it's okay to hire more than one person and have them be part-time versus full-time, you know. Yeah. There's just a lot of, I think, intrinsic beliefs we carry because of, you know, the W-2 economy that don't apply to us over in entrepreneur land. I don't know if everybody's figured that out yet. Like, we get to do what we want over here, and it's wonderful. So I think just embracing that is a big part about teams.
Yeah. I love that you shared that, because I've made that mistake. And I mean, I can take full responsibility for it, where I've been like, well, I just want this person to be a jack of all trades. And then I was like, why can't this person make designs like I want? Why isn't this person writing copy like I want? But this person was clearly made to be analytical and to do like spreadsheets and data. And I'm like expecting her to be some sort of magical designer.
Well, and
that didn't
sure,
last long, though. In my defense, I hired a designer. Don't worry, everybody.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure the thing that probably happened is the individual wanted to make you happy.
Yes.
So they really tried to do this, but it really wasn't the thing they're good at. So we have to kind of go as leaders, why would I put that person in that position?
Yeah.
Why don't I just give them what I know they're good at, and hopefully that role can grow for them because the company will grow. But yeah, I love that. And again, man, I mean, I teach leadership. I've been a leader for 15 years, and we all still make mistakes.
Yeah.
We all
I'm the first.
Still,
like every, all our listeners on the show know that I'm always the first one to be like, I did that wrong.
Yeah. You're like, oh yeah, me. 100%. Like, every mistake that ever has could have been made with team and leadership and whatever, everything I teach, like, it's only because one Dale told me and then I didn't listen and then I did it for myself. And then I realized, actually, probably I did it two or three times to really learn the lesson, and financially just,
you know,
tens of thousands of dollars out the door. And I'm like, oh yeah, Dale was probably right. Wow. Okay. And I think, like I say, I think that, you know, that's the beauty of entrepreneurship. We kind of get to do it how we want and the way we want, right?
I love that. Okay. Well, we could probably talk for hours, but I want to wrap up with our signature question here on, what's your unpopular opinion on growing a team?
Yeah. My unpopular opinion, we've kind of touched the surface a little bit. So I love that we've kind of really pushed into the fear around teams.
Yeah.
The fear around teams is completely fictitious. There's no reason. It is such a, you're tethering yourself. It's kind of like you're bolting yourself to the ground, having that limiting belief. There was a Facebook conversation going on about, someone had posted that wearing, you know, not building a team is a badge of honor. And there's a lot of marketing that's going on around, like, hey, do this so you don't have to build a team. And I'm like, why? It's the best thing in the world. And I mean, yes, I'm a bright, shiny, yellow in a temperament. I love meeting people and all that. But also, like, the greatest leaders are other temperament types. So it's not that you have to be extroverted to be a good leader and to have a great team. But, you know, the fear around trusting someone, the fear around the financial side of it, isn't it going to be costly to have a team? They're all unfounded fears.
Yeah.
And I can promise you, on the other side, as I've had many students tell me, why didn't you just tell me to do this sooner? I was like, girl, I did. Girl, I promise I did. It was 2 years ago. I have a text message where I was like, we need to get over this fear. And again, we help with that at the Abundance Group, all of those fears, the solo, you know, hurdling over the solopreneur mindset, the financial side of the team. We actually work with our coaching clients on their exact metrics and how to scale with their risk tolerance in mind, they're all equations that are easily solvable. And I think a lot of people do their business and their dream a disservice when they simply shut the door on building teams because of fear. It's like when we were kids and we were like scared of the monster in the closet, so we shut the closet. The monster wasn't there. We just thought that was. And that's exactly how it is with teams and all of the different fear mindsets of, I don't want to be a bad boss. I want people to like me. They're not going to do it perfectly. Like, again, how do I trust them? We hear it all the time. And it all funnels into, you just haven't done it yet. And we fear things we haven't done. And once you're on the other side, you go, man, why was I worried about this? When you open the closet door and shine the light, you go, oh, that's actually just my stuffed teddy bear. I was looking for him. That's great. Wow, this was a real, why was I worried about it? That is definitely the mission I have for so many people, because I want people to experience what I have. And, you know, we've coached over 500 business owners in this, and they all, 100% of them will say, man, that was so worth it. And again, I think building a team feels gnarly and like there's all these different facets to it. And yes, it is dynamic, but again, we help with every single pillar of building a team. We teach leadership. Like, it's all learnable. It's all a skill that you learn. Just like picking up a camera, just like coaching other people, just like, right, taking a photograph, take all of these things. Like, it's just a skill that you've learned and you've excelled in if you're hanging out in Lele's community. So yeah, that's my semi like soapbox. Like, this is how I feel about it. But just wipe away the fear, because there's no need for it. Your dream, your vision, your life, you deserve more than that.
I love that you said, I feel like it could be just related to any parts of business or life, is just that like the fear is in the unknown. So I hope that people take that away. And where can people connect with you, friend?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, hanging out in the DMs all the time. We're at the Abundance Group. It's my dad and I own the business. Dale does not show up on Instagram very often, even though we try. He barely knows how to make his phone work.
That's
To
okay.
be honest, he's not listening to this too. I can just all
Parents,
day.
man. Yeah.
No, he's the greatest. Everybody loves him. I'm gonna get hate mail. Stop hating on Dale. But we hang out on Instagram, and again, we have tons of tools and resources, free, paid, like all the things. So if you do have any questions, please come hang out with us. Come follow us over there. We're happy to help in whatever part of your journey we can be when it comes to building your team.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope everybody goes to the show notes, goes on Instagram, and checks you out. Ashley is just such a wealth of knowledge. Thank you.
Yeah, Lily, thanks for having me.
For show notes and resources mentioned on today's episode, head to SoHere'sTheThingPodcast.com. This show is brought to you by the Creative Educator Academy, where we teach creative entrepreneurs how to teach, because I believe that industries thrive when experts can share their knowledge well. If you're enjoying the podcast, I'd love to read your review in iTunes or see your rating on Spotify. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode.